Well, friends, we're in a message series right now that we're calling Hijacked. We've been looking at some of the things in our faith and our life and Jesus that are being hijacked by this world and deception of the current world that we live in. And if we were to have, I think, a moment to really look down on ourselves with the eyes of God and the vision of God upon us, I think that we'd be astounded. Astounded to know what God's offering us through Jesus Christ that gets missed on a regular basis because of the clouding of this world. And one of those areas that I believe does get missed on a regular basis because of that we're going to talk about today is the area of peace. I mean, isn't peace what it is that we all say that we're looking for in our world today? You have peace talks and all these kind of things trying to attain peace, and people want to have peace in their lives, and then we have those in our world who want to do all they can to disturb the peace, don't we? I mean, the logic of groups like ISIL or ISIS, whatever you want to call them, and the Taliban, the dreadful events of 9/11 in Paris and the things like that, it just makes no sense to me. That mindset makes no sense to me at all. And then you have people with guns in movie theaters and in schools. It just makes no sense to me. How can people be given to evil all the time? But you know what? That's exactly the way things were in the time right before God called Noah to build an ark and brought a great worldwide flood that destroyed everyone outside of Noah and his family and the animals that they gathered. Peace had become so absent in the world at that time in history that the only way to have peace again was to destroy that which was absent of peace. Listen to how Scripture in Genesis chapter 6, 5 through 7 talks about that. It says, that period, it says, "The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on earth, and his heart was filled with pain." Those are pretty strong words, aren't they? "So the Lord said, 'I will wipe mankind whom I have created from the face of the earth.'" Well, friends, with the distress and the unrest of our world today, one has to wonder, can humankind, are they capable of that same kind of evil all the time that they were in that time? And I believe the answer to that is absolutely yes. However, we have something that humankind did not have in that day. We have the resurrected Jesus Christ who defeated sin and death, and we have the Holy Spirit present in this world through the heart of every believer in Jesus. And that means that real peace will only come to the world through the Holy Spirit being expressed in you and in me. Satan and the world is battling to hijack our peace. And friends, today we're taking peace back. And let's pray as we prepare to do that. God, I don't know what unrest we all come in with today. I don't know where our peace is being challenged. I don't know if it's by the headlines that we've seen in the news or read on the internet, or if it's from our own lives, our own work situation or family situation or community situation or school situation or whatever it is. I don't know where the peace has been disturbed for all of us today, but today in the name of Jesus, we want to take peace back. We want to understand what peace is the way that you offer it, what you bring to us. So God, teach us today. And help us to find your peace. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Jesus says this about peace in John chapter 14, verses 26 and 27. And you'll find it up on the screen as I read it. Here's what he says. He says, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father has sent, Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." I mean, wow, that verse has so much to say to us about peace. So much to say. So let's spend our time today dissecting those verses from Jesus in John chapter 14. And first they tell us this. First it tells us that peace is attainable. It is attainable. In other words, we don't have to go through life with a chaotic heart or a chaotic mind. Do you know what I'm talking about by that? Anybody know what I'm saying? How many of us in this room today sit here with a heart that's heavy or a mind that's just spinning? How many are troubled by one thing or another? How many feel like their life is just at the end of the rope or it's getting really close to it because life has thrown you so many jabs and so many punches, surprise punches, that peace just seems to be the furthest thing from your experience? How many would say to me today, Mark, I'm just not experiencing peace in any way, shape, or form in my life right now? Now, how many of you would like to have it different? How many of you would like to have it different? Jesus says to us in this verse that peace is attainable. It is attainable. As a matter of fact, he says, it's there for the taking. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Friends, it's a gift from God. He's giving it to us through the Holy Spirit. He leaves peace with us. He gives it to us. But like any good gift that we've been given, we got to learn to take it. A nicely wrapped package that never gets opened is nothing more than if we've not received it. Peace may be eluding your life because you've never accepted it. You've never unwrapped the gift and embraced it. Jesus's peace is there for the taking. It's attainable. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. But we have to choose to let peace be that which rules our hearts and our lives instead of the chaos. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, it says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body we're called to peace, and be thankful." And not only do we need to receive peace and choose to allow peace to rule in us, Scripture says in Psalm chapter 34, verse 14, that we need to pursue it. We need to pursue peace. It says, turn from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. You know, I'm just really curious. I wonder what would happen if the rest of the world that isn't pursuing evil and terror would become as radically adamant about pursuing peace as those who are haters and pursuing terror. What would happen? What we know, friends, is that real peace is attainable. And the second thing we know from the Scripture is that real peace is different from worldly peace. We're not talking about worldly peace. We're talking about a peace that can only be received through the Holy Spirit. Jesus says in these verses, "I do not give to you as the world gives." As the world gives. No peace that the world gives is the same as God's peace. You can buy peace. You can't buy peace of mind. You can't earn peace in your heart. You can't find peace through doing goodwill or doing good deeds. Buying a $500,000 life insurance policy may give you peace of mind and that your family is going to be taken care of when you die, but it doesn't give them any real peace when they're broken and grieving because you're gone. And it doesn't bring you any real peace as you're waiting for that day that you die. Any peace that the world offers will be short-lived. We may find a peace in owning our home. We may find a peace in having a family. We may find a peace in a good job or a good career. But understand, any peace that the world offers can be and one day will be shaken. Do you know most Americans live one paycheck away from poverty? One paycheck. If they lose their job, they'd be in dire straits. One day they have peace, and the next day it's rocked. It's gone. Cancer rips worldly peace from people every day. We had a man in one of the churches where we served who had a great marriage, had two successfully raised children, had a well-secured job. He was pretty prominent, a presence in his community, and he found out one day that he had pancreatic cancer. 3 weeks later, he was gone. 3 weeks. He and his wife had a really, really close marriage. They did everything together, and now she had to figure out how to do everything without him. My wife Caroline had a cousin who was in his 30s. He worked through school. He'd gotten his master's and his doctor's degrees. He was a successful research scientist in San Diego with his wife and two kids. And one day he's riding his bicycle to school, which he often did because he was an avid rider, plus the weather in San Diego allowed him to do that, and it saved a lot on gasoline. But on this day, a man in an SUV didn't see Greg and turned right in front of him as he was coming down the hill at a pretty high rate of speed, and Greg plowed into the SUV, and moments later, Greg was gone. Now his wife and his two children forge ahead, trying to make things work with Daddy gone. Friends, when those kinds of things come at you, the peace that the things of the world offers you, you know what? It just isn't enough. It's not enough. The stability, the security that once you knew is now gone. You know, I can't tell you why those things happen. I can't explain the grief and the pain away. I can't tell you why it sometimes seems like God steps in and stops a tragedy, and it seems like other times he doesn't. But I can tell you that God doesn't cause the pain. And I can tell you that God is there in every circumstance. And I can tell you that the gift of Jesus Christ that he offers us is a sustaining peace that the world cannot offer, and that will carry us through even the darkest night and even the deepest tragedy. When the man with the pancreatic cancer died, you know what? He knew Jesus. And I can tell you that when I visited him in his last days, that in his life, he had a peace that was remarkable, that only comes from God. He knew he was dying, but he had this peace that he could only have gotten from God. Do you know what he did? Before he died, he set up with a local florist to have roses delivered to his wife the day of his funeral. He was often sending her flowers, so he had roses sent that day of his funeral. When Caroline's cousin Greg was killed on a bike, I know God was there. Greg also knew Jesus, and right when the accident happened, there was a nurse en route to the hospital for work, and she stopped immediately to help. When she saw the extent of Greg's injury, she knew he wouldn't survive. And she too, being a Christian, she sat and held his hand, offering God's peace until he passed from this life to the next. Friends, God didn't keep that accident from happening, but praise God that God was there. He was there through the flesh and the blood of that nurse. And you know what else? Greg's wife's routine was to take the same route that Greg took when she drove her kids to school in the morning. However, that morning, she felt like she was supposed to go another way. So she did. Had she not, they would have witnessed the accident scene when or shortly after it happened. But the peace of the Holy Spirit was already working in her, guiding her in a direction that she needed to go on that morning. Jesus is saying, the peace I give you is different from anything that the world can offer you. It's different. The world can't offer you any security like the peace that God gives. His peace will sustain you in all times, and it will not leave you. Here's the third thing that Jesus says in this scripture about his peace, is that real peace comes from the Holy Spirit. From the Holy Spirit. These verses say, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. And then it says, peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Friends, the kind of peace that we're talking about today, the kind of peace that's God's gift to us through Jesus, comes from the Holy Spirit. We're not talking about peaceful times. We're not talking about seasons of peace. We're not talking about quiet music or quiet times. We're talking about even in the midst of chaos, even in the midst of a tragedy, there can be an underlying peace that sees you through. That kind of peace only comes from the Holy Spirit. Only from the Holy Spirit. When you pursue, receive, and embrace the peace that Jesus gives you through the Holy Spirit, when you ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins and to come into your heart and into your life to lead you, the Holy Spirit of God comes to live in you. The Holy Spirit is alive in your heart. And with the Holy Spirit comes the resource for us to tap into. We can find a stabilizing peace that's not shaken by life's storms. Now, some here are saying, well, how does that work? I know Christians who sure don't seem to have this kind of peace, and I'm a Christian, and I don't feel like I even know what you're talking about. Well, I can tell you that tapping into the source of the Holy Spirit begins with surrender. And I'm talking about a daily throwing up your arms and saying, God, I just surrender. Peace is eluding me, and I can't take it anymore. I can't do this on my own any longer. And I'm surrendering to your Holy Spirit to lead me and to guide me and to give me peace to sustain me through this. But friends, that's not a one-time deal. That's an everyday act. That's an everyday surrendering. As a Christian, the source of peace, the Holy Spirit, is within you, but you've got to be intentional about tapping into it. And fourth, we gain from this scripture that the real peace relieves your troubled spirit. Your troubled spirit. These verses end by saying, do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid. He covers two areas here. First, he tells us not to let our hearts be troubled, or you might say worried. And Paul gives us a recipe for dealing with a troubled and a worried heart and spirit. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, he says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, this is a peace that we can't even comprehend, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Friends, when the Holy Spirit is alive in you, you have the resource to pray and to petition the God of all the universe. The God of all the universe. You have the source that allows you to present your situation to Him and to leave it with Him and to no longer be anxious. I mean, let's face it. When you have an anxious moment in life, you're tempted to be troubled. You only got two options. One, if there's something that you can do to change the circumstances, to find peace and it honors God, then change your circumstances. Get out of that circumstance that's making you anxious. For instance, if you got a job that's doing nothing but making you be anxious and a candidate for psychotherapy, and it honors God for you to get out of that position, then start looking. Surrender to God and go to a different job. The second option is if you can't change the circumstances, there's nothing you can do to make them any different. To find peace, then you got to choose either to let go and trust God or to stay uptight and anxious and troubled and worried the rest of your life. You can give it to God, give that anxiousness away, or you can stay uptight. As a Christian, you've got the Holy Spirit alive in you, and you have the resource to let go of that and to no longer be anxious, and you can have real peace even when the circumstances can't be changed. Jesus tells us not to let our hearts be troubled. And the second area he covers here is he says, and do not be afraid. Friends, fear can paralyze you. And fear's not from God. If you're paralyzed by fear, it's coming from one of two places. Either it's coming from inside you, maybe from your upbringing or something you've experienced in life or self-doubt or guilt or something you've done. Or it's coming from Satan, who loves to prey on all of those other things that are going on inside of you to cause you to be fearful. Wherever it comes from, it only makes sense that you can't experience the gift of God's peace if you're gripped by fear in your life. How can you experience peace if you're gripped by fear? If you find yourself being afraid, being fearful, I want you to listen closely to the truth of these scriptures and see what kind of peace they can bring. Listen to these scriptures. Isaiah chapter 43, the second part of verse 1 through verse 2. It says, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Friends, it doesn't say he's going to take away the flames or the water or the flood or any of the bad things, doesn't. It says that he will be with you through it. He will sustain your peace through it. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity or of fear, but listen to this, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline." Did you hear that? Power accompanies the Holy Spirit who resides in you as a Christian, so you don't have to be afraid. You need to turn that fear over to God and tap into the source of the Holy Spirit for courage to press on, and with it will come his peace. There once was a king who offered a prize to the artist who could paint for him the best picture of peace. Many artists tried, and the king looked over all the pictures, but there were only two that he really liked, and he had to choose between them. One picture was of a calm lake. The lake was a perfect mirror for the peaceful, towering mountains that were all around it. Overhead, the sky was blue with white, fluffy clouds, and all who saw this picture thought it was a perfect picture of peace. The other picture had mountains as well, but they were rugged and bare. And above were there was this angry sky where rain fell and where lightning was playing about. And down the side of the mountain tumbled a foaming waterfall. This did not look peaceful at all. But when the king looked, he saw behind the waterfall a tiny bush growing out of a crack in the rock. And in that bush was a mother bird who had built a nest. And there in the midst of the rush of the angry water sat this mother bird on her nest in perfect peace. Which picture do you think won the prize? The king chose the second picture. Do you know why? Because, explained the king, peace does not mean to be in a place where there's no noise, no trouble, and no hard work. Peace means to be in the midst of all those things and still be calm in your heart. That is the real meaning of peace. That is the real meaning of peace. Friends, peace is attainable. It's there for the taking. Jesus came that we might have an experience of peace like no other. You can have real peace. Life can be chaotic on the outside, while on the inside, you're at peace. It starts with receiving the gift of God's Son, Jesus. And if you've never done that before, you can do that today. Do you want peace? Real peace? It only comes through Jesus. It only comes through the Holy Spirit. Let's pray together. God, as I said as we were starting this morning in prayer, I don't know what chaos we've come into this room with today, but you want to leave. I want us to leave with your sustaining peace. And God, I don't know in this room, and there may be people that say, it is so far eluding me, I am not even close to having peace in my life. And for some of them, they may say, but I also know that I've never really asked Jesus into my life either. And for you, friend, that's where it begins, to simply come before Jesus and to say, Lord Jesus, I'm chaotic inside. I'm absolutely broken. I know I've sinned. I know I've fallen short of you and your glory. And I need your peace today. I ask you, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart and my life and lead me in this day forward and give me through your Holy Spirit a sustained peace to carry me through this life. Oh, God, I also know there are folks in this room who've done that. They've asked Jesus in their life, but the fact is that they're holding on to the steering wheel. And when the chaotic waters come, they just keep trying to drive the boat. They keep trying to drive over the waves. They don't relinquish control to the real captain of their life, who's you, Jesus. And it's time for them to say, I'm throwing my arms up, God. It's over. I'm surrendering to you, because when I try to control all this, chaos just swallows me. But I want the peace that only comes through Jesus, and I can't get that until I give control away. When I give control to you, Jesus, that's where I can feel the peace. When I give control to your Holy Spirit that resides in me, peace wells up. It takes me through the difficult waters. It takes me across the smooth waters. It takes me through the storms. It's with me in a sunny day. It's a peace that's always there sustaining. So God, I have to surrender to you today and ask for it, because I have not been paying attention to your Spirit in my life. Dear God, I'm so glad you love us. And then it's your peace that you offer us. You say, my peace I leave you, my peace I give you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And that's what it comes down to, is in the middle of the storm, what is it you're holding on to? Because there's only one thing that's going to pull you all the way through, and it's Jesus. Period. I remember early in my walk with Christ, when I came to Christ, I used to walk around, but in some places I would, like on a chalkboard or something, maybe on a wall somewhere. I don't think I ever did it in a bathroom stall, but it might be possible. I would write on the wall, N-O God, no God, N-O peace, no peace. And then I write K-N-O-W, no God, K-N-O-W, no peace. It's the only way. That sustaining peace only comes through God. He created you for it. He offers it to you, but you have to receive it. You have to choose it. You have to pursue it. And it will sustain you through it all. Let's go in the peace and the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus.